Well, welcome again to this workshop. Looks like we have a couple here who were not in the first one. How many? Okay, a number of you. That is fine. Welcome. Did you get an outline? Just want to pass one back there. Thank you. And you don't necessarily have to have been in the first workshop to be in this one. I'm going to be carrying forward this, but changing the focus a bit, talking about how ladies relate to men, to male teachers, fellow teachers, and students, and particularly in settings where I'm thinking where there can be older students, and how do you interact with them as they are growing into manhood, and the challenges of their manhood. Sometimes, just from the standpoint of them feeling like a man and you're a lady, and who are you to tell me what to do? Sometimes attractions actually that develop, sometimes on one side. How do you, as a discreet lady, handle the attractions of an immature young man? Those are issues that we want to look at in this workshop. The workshop, are you coming through here? Okay. I did structure this as a workshop, and so I'm not intending to do it as a talk. Those of you who are here in the other one, we will work at this together. And I am not a single lady, so I don't face issues like you do. Have interacted with single ladies in a variety of settings, not just in school settings, but also I do here. I did in other ministry settings as well. So I want to think about these things, and I listed out a number of questions for us to consider. And these are the questions I'm going to ask us to start working on here. I'll put you into small groups, and we'll get you to work on these questions. How do men create relational difficulties for a single woman in the schoolroom? Okay, so one group is going to work on that. Let's just divide the groups up right away now so you can kind of be thinking about where you're going to be. It looks like let's go about five per group, and we'll see how we end up here. So let's just take the first five here, and you will be in one group, and the next four with you. All right, and there we've got five. And there we have five, first five here, and it comes out exactly right. So that's one, two, three, four, five groups. All right, so it'll be the last two back there with youth, last three on that row. Okay? That makes sense? And so the first five here. So you're welcome to rearrange your chairs a bit if you'd like to be able to talk together well. This group is group one taking the first question. How do men create relational difficulties for a single woman in the classroom? Second group over here, what mistakes have you observed in single lady teachers relating to male teachers? Okay, this is wide open. It can be in a variety of ways. Well, just what kind of mistakes? Try to make a list of some of those. A third question, what mistakes have you observed in... How did that happen? The last one, pardon me? Ah, yes, to male teachers and to male students. There we go. Three, so what mistakes have you observed in single lady teachers relating to male students? So this is group three. Okay, you folks do that one. And yes, you are with them. And question number four, what are the ways male-female interaction in the school affect other female teachers? Okay, so this group back here. Your group four, yes, in the middle there. And question number five, what would it look like for a single lady teacher to do well in a relationship with a male teacher? And that's your group, okay? So how does a single lady teacher do well in a relationship with a male teacher? And you can take that in a variety of directions. How do they do well as remaining as fellow teachers? What does that look like? How would they do well if they were to develop attractions for each other? What would that look like? So you got a big job here. Okay, you work it out in about 5 minutes and let us know. All right, so you can work on it here, work on these questions. talk, brainstorm. Don't be afraid to list things out. Go ahead. Let's start with question number one here and group number one. How do men create relational difficulties for single women in the classroom?
We had one basic answer that Carol stretches pretty broadly.
Okay.
That was maybe it's over and over all relating. There probably can be two extremes. Either just there could be a setting where especially the unmarried but married to men avoid being around you, not because they dislike you, but because they're afraid of little things. And afraid of appearing like
improper or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, then the other side of that would be if they don't care at all and are just as free and open as they want to be no matter what.
Okay. So, two extremes. On the one side, being just standoffish and I ignore you, don't interact with you, I'm afraid of you as a single woman. Or on the other side, just not having healthy boundaries, not understanding, and making you uncomfortable. Okay? The rest of the group, what do you say? What would you like to add here? Don't be afraid to be specific.
One other thing. Mm-hmm. It could be a man teacher who feels like since he's a man, he has the final authority to make every decision and doesn't respect your opinion because you're a lady.
Okay. So he has wrong assumptions about the male-female role, perhaps, and ignores you or overrides. Okay. Any others? Let's see. Not a very talkative group here right now. I'm thinking that there are times when you have been irritated. Okay. Are you normal human beings? How do men create difficulty for you? Have we covered it? It sounds pretty passive to me so far.
Do you want a specific scenario?
Okay, so things that you have said that you can't do, they could do, you've asked them to do, they just ignore it or forget it or, okay? What else? Let's go here then. What does it feel like to you on these two extremes? When a person is just, it's like you're... a new virus or something, when they treat you that way. How does it make you feel? Like they don't care. Okay. He would take things wrongly. You were afraid, okay?
Exactly.
Right.
We never got to even have any kind of where we've been comfortable all year.
So how did you feel about that?
Well, I think they're extreme.
And you think that was?
Together. If you put the work together.
Okay. Okay. So you're also talking about not just how it made you feel, but how it made you function. You're saying that it hindered your ability to work together because there was not a comfortableness. Okay. Anyone else? Let's go on. We can come back to, we'll talk about some of these later. What mistakes have you observed in single lady teachers relating to male? Right here.
We talked about communication, which would be about the same thing. Like, if we didn't have proper communication.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you went ahead and did something without actually asking.
So, in that case, the teacher the lady teacher is creating a difficulty by not talking about it. Is that, am I understanding right? Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be good if we had good communication.
Okay. And can we define what do you mean by good communication? Any of you?
I think one mistake we can make is when we share with a single man teacher, we can let too much of our emotion and feeling get involved instead of talking through your letting your own heart out.
Okay. So one of the ways to keep communication healthy is not to become so emotional, but engaging the issues, discussing, facing the issues, talking about them, but be careful about the personal feelings and so on that are involved. Okay. Okay, later I'll ask you the question, what do you do with those feelings? Okay, let's move on to the next one. What mistakes have you observed in single lady teachers relating to male students? I think we're here. Where are we? All right, okay.
Mm-hmm. More their authority than their friend or their, because it's easy for them to develop an attraction or something.
Okay, so that's mostly what you talked about, that where a male student may have attractions for, because, and I hear you saying, because the teacher became too involved in being something to that student that they shouldn't be. A kind of a counselor, okay? How does a single lady teacher care for the needs of her older male students without that happening?
It would be good if she could refer him to another man.
Okay.
That's always possible.
Okay. So realizing that sometimes it's not appropriate for you, however much you care, for you to actually meet a need in somebody's life. So it's a really important concept there. I have worked in troubled marriages. I did that for numerous years. And one of the things I had to continually remind myself, there are some needs in the wives who are there. They were typically there with their husband. But they may have needs in their life that I cannot meet. Okay, it's not appropriate for me to meet. That's the same concept we're talking about here, you're saying, that for a single lady teacher, okay? But it could be certainly seeing to it that somebody may meet those needs. What about, does it ever pull on the heart of teachers? Do you ever see that happening? I heard you talking about it the other way. Do single lady teachers ever experience attractions for older students that they don't know quite what to do with? Have you observed it at any time? Or that doesn't happen? Any comments? What are the signs of things not going quite right there?
Maybe when they have more interaction with one or two particular students.
Okay. So when a teacher is spending more time with one, and, okay. The reality is that these things do happen, okay? It's not like we're human beings. God made us this way, but we have to be careful. We have to understand propriety here. And I've read a number of accounts in actually national news over the last probably year or two. I remember a number of times hearing about lady teachers who became romantically involved with a male student, teenage male student, So just saying that those things are things that we need to guard against. Number four, what are the ways male-female interaction in the school affect other female teachers? Now we're back here, am I right? What do you say? Who's our spokesperson? Okay. Have you ever seen where it is a difficulty? Okay. Typically, the question is directed at a situation where you've got a male teacher who is closer. You talked about talking more to a male student who spends more time, communication, interaction with one of the teachers. How does that affect the other teachers? Your ladies, come on, you can tell me. Yes. Okay. So it feels like you're sidelined. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Can make you feel uninvolved, maybe unimportant, unappreciated. Your word isn't as significant. Is that what I'm hearing you say? Okay. Okay. It can lead to feelings of jealousy. You may not get in on all. You might miss information because it's being communicated here, but it's not being communicated all around.
I didn't really have that problem with the male teacher, but it was more an interaction with the board.
Okay.
My co-teacher, she'd go on the phone and call about things that I would just, keep myself. And then it looks to everybody as if she's the one that's in charge. Mm. I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how could that have been avoided? Okay. Okay, but if it begins to affect communication or your teaching or whatever, then you don't want to minimize it. Something has to happen here. We'll talk more about solutions in a little bit here. Number five, what would it look like for a single lady teacher to do well? All right, group five. Okay, so if you're discussing issues with them, keep it to the issues. Be careful about moving into personal feelings about that, or how it's affecting you, or your. Okay. Did that cover what you talked about? Okay. What does it look like when it's not a healthy relationship? Maybe we talked about that. And let's go on. We're going to run out of time here. Let's move into, I'm going to look at a scripture here. This is not on your outline. but I note this scripture does not name school teachers here, but it does talk about, Paul is writing to Timothy, okay? And he's writing to Timothy as a young pastor. We don't know how old Timothy was, but a number of times in the letter, Paul addresses him as young, and he says, don't let people look down on you because you are young. So he's a young man, and he's relating as a church leader. He's relating in a position. So here's Paul talking to the man's side. He's not talking to the ladies. He's talking to the man's side. But notice what he says. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. What we note here is that Paul is saying that the relationships that we have between Christian young men and Christian young women should be wholesome relationships, appropriate relationships, not leading to romantic attractions that are improper. Obviously, if there is a single young man, a single young woman, there is the potential for that developing into a wholesome marriage relationship. That is a potential, but it needs to be done appropriately. And sometimes your situations are going to vary. Sometimes as a single lady teacher, you will be relating to single men in the classroom. Sometimes it's a one-woman, one-man teaching, working relationships, seeing each other every day, needing to work together on things. Sometimes it is one man with several single ladies. Sometimes it is a married man relating to a number of single ladies. Obviously, the dynamics for all of these changes. It shifts a bit, but notice Paul's direction. No matter what the relationship, with absolute purity, with proper kinds of appropriateness. And what that means then is we need to know boundaries. We need to understand healthy kinds of interactions and keep our interactions along the boundaries that enable the relationship to be wholesome and good and productive, rather than moving into things that are unproductive. Just a number of things that may help us to think about this. I was thinking about Paul writing to Timothy here, and a number of things that he says. Actually, in the verses that I listed there, I don't have the verses that precede that. But Paul talks about Timothy understanding his calling and fulfilling his calling. Well, it's one of the things he addresses numerous times. Right? He calls Timothy also to a solid relationship with God. He's got to have that in order to minister properly. And I see all of that as healthy background for this instruction that we just looked at here. And so let's just recognize a number of things that will be helpful for you as maybe these are principles. These are not pointers, directives. These are principles, okay, that just enable you. Know yourself. Is an important part of keeping relationships healthy. We actually find it difficult sometimes to know ourselves. Sometimes other people know things about us that we don't know about ourselves. Okay, they're observing things in us, and we haven't come to it yet. We haven't really seen it yet. And so I'm going to just break that down into a number of areas that are important, particularly for the male-female, the cross-gender interaction. Your femininity concepts, which simply means how you feel about yourself as a woman, how you think about yourself as a woman. I'm just pausing here to say this, that our culture, we live in a culture that regularly presses us into our gender issues, our sexuality, presses us to wrong thinking and wrong behaving in our gender roles. So in the world today, many times ladies are almost taught how to flirt, taught how to get attention. Okay? They're patterned that way by music, they're patterned that way by movies, by examples of their close peers and so on. So I'm just saying we need to if you are going to be wholesome single ladies, you have to resist a huge amount of pressure. Now, it's not only the pressures of our culture, but it's sometimes life experiences. Some ladies get to your age and do not like themselves as ladies because their femininity has been skewed by life experiences in a variety of ways. It may be mockery. It can be abuse issues, sexual abuse, those kind of things. There can be family dynamics that twist our sexuality. Okay, so we're not going into all that, but I'm just saying that here's a way to put it, kind of wrap it up here. If you don't like yourself as a single lady, okay, you will have difficulty in your cross-gender interactions. Okay, so learning learning to be at peace with yourself as a woman. I think there is a book by, I think it's Ingrid Trobisch, who says, writes a book, Let Me Be a Woman, or The Joy of Being a Woman. Is it The Joy of Being a Woman? Let Me Be a Woman? If you've struggled with yourself as a woman, picking up some books that enable you to address, know yourself, and face some issues. If the things have gotten twisted, if they've been skewed for whatever reasons, working on those femininity concepts. Self-concepts is another one that is very closely related. Again, if I can reference our culture today is a, we are living in a hugely self-oriented culture. We are encouraged to indulge ourselves. The individual is important. This is different from some cultures. Back in the time the Bible was written, it was a strong family culture. You belong to a family, and your connections with your family were more significant than your own personal ambitions. Today, it's reversed. Your ambitions, what's important for you, your dreams, you fulfill those dreams. That's the number one thing, okay? And to be really fulfilled and happy, you owe it to yourself to pursue your dreams. Are you hearing that today? You hear what I'm saying? All that pushes upon us, okay? Added to that, the reality is we live in a sinful culture, and all of us struggle at some point with insecurity. That's a part of growing up. But insecurity is a wrecker of cross-gender interactions. It wrecks. If you come into and you are personally insecure, you will have difficulty relating cross-gender relationships. You talked about it earlier here, I forget which groups it was. A number of you actually talked about how you'd like to have the kind of relationships where you can communicate and you can talk in wholesome ways, and no, people aren't thinking about, oh, you're like that person, or you want to develop a relationship, or you got ulterior motives. You want a relationship where you can talk and interact well. You can't do that with insecurity. You have to work through the security issues. And I'll just say this, that our security is in Christ. You learn to know who you are in Jesus. You are a daughter of God in Jesus, and you come to security, and it gives you a premise for interacting with males in ways that is wholesome and good, and you don't, you aren't into this. Actually, it's really never growing out of. You see it in your students sometimes, the boyfriend, girlfriend, little stuff like that. If you are still in your 20s or in your 30s and you're still thinking those little things, okay, I'm just saying it's gonna affect you. Okay, growing out of that into. I'm not saying you grow out of a place where you have any attractions. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about the way in which we look at it, okay, that's wholesome. So self-concepts, life concepts, knowing yourself. When Paul wrote to Timothy, one of the things that was a premise for him saying that he could have wholesome interactions with single ladies was he called Timothy to his life calling. You are a pastor. You've been called to be a pastor. Learn how to pastor well. And it was a premise, it was a base for him to interact. And when he interacted with single ladies, he had his life purpose in view. He was a pastor. When you are interacting with your students, you are a teacher. So knowing your calling and not slipping into school teaching because nothing else is on the horizon, and so you're just kind of hoping to get through another year of life until something exciting comes along, okay? That's not a good life concept, okay? Developing vision, understanding why God has placed us here. So knowing yourself just helps in those cross-gender interactions. Your weak areas, your strong areas. Knowing yourself. Sometimes our weaknesses and our strengths lie side by side. They're very close together. Okay, so just as an example, you might have a huge hunger for affection. That's a part of who you are. All people have a desire for affection. I'm just saying, in some people it can be multiplied, but that can be very closely related to maybe a compassion, the ability to feel with others well. Okay, you see that? So it could be, on the one side, a weakness that makes you vulnerable to wanting affection from others. And on the other side, it may be the kind of quality that enables you to feel with people who are struggling. So you see that? Know your weak areas, your strong areas. It'll be along the lines of weakness that you develop inappropriate interactions with males, whether it's fellow teachers or students or whatever. It'll be along those lines of weakness. When you know those, then you can be aware of those. You can work at replacing those. So I just have you pause here and think with me about yourself, okay? You are not to respond out loud. You are to think, okay? And you don't have to write it down in case somebody's looking over your shoulder, okay? What is your biggest weakness in cross-gender interactions? Where could you get into trouble in your cross-gender interactions? It could be on the level of abrasiveness. It could be on the level of vulnerability. But where are your weak areas? Okay, what's your biggest area of weakness? And on the other side, then you can think, now, what strength do you bring to cross-gender interaction? Now, this self-analysis isn't always, we're sometimes a little uncomfortable with it. Are we accurate? You may actually, if you have struggled in a series of interactions with males that you know hasn't been good, maybe it's been too quickly to bond, or it might be too quickly to get tensions and irritations and whatever, and you've had a series of those, you may ask a friend, okay? You really want to grow. Ask a friend, say, tell me what I'm doing. What are my weak areas? Okay, knowing yourself will enable you to fortify yourself, to take precautions, to set up, to reinforce boundaries that will preserve relationships rather than repeating and continuing a series of interactions with men that is unwholesome, that is unhealthy. So know yourself, point that we're looking at here. And then principles that guide us, know God. And again, Paul addresses Timothy here very, very clearly in this passage, calling him to strong relationship with God. God concepts shape self-concepts. I told you a little bit ago, everybody struggles with insecurity. Our self-concepts. Somebody told me that when you're 20, you're afraid what everybody else is thinking about you. When you're 40, you don't care what anybody else thinks about you. When you're 60, you realize they weren't thinking about you at all. I struggled a lot as a young person. I struggled immensely with insecurity. I was terribly insecure. I don't know what all went into it. I don't know why it was. Maybe it just comes in my genes. But I struggled immensely with insecurity. Growing up was a huge issue for me. It was tough. And it was helpful just to know that I struggle with insecurity, being able to say it. That was helpful. But I developed habits of relating. And one of my habits was performance. I was going to outdo anybody no matter what I did. It was my route to security. Okay? Now, understanding that about myself has been very, very helpful. It helps me to know the ways in which I may hurt other people, the ways in which I don't have healthy interactions, craving for affirmation. All of those things are things that are important for me to know. But if I can come to the second point, there has been nothing that has been so helpful in getting me to think rightly about myself like learning to know God. God concepts shape our self-concepts. When I learned to know God, I could relax about who I am. It really doesn't matter. The number one, the most important thing about me is not what I've done. It's not how many years I've taught. It is that I am His child. I'm a child of God. And that makes me secure. And if I end up teaching for 30 years and people end up saying, that was a rotten 30 years or what in the world, and put me down or cast me out or whatever. If I'm a child of God and I get to go to heaven forever, so be it. I've done my best. And it really doesn't matter so much what people think. I am God's child. That's the most important thing about me. And it is the same thing with you. God concepts shape self-concepts. And God meets us in our need. We all have empty areas. We all have areas where we struggle. As ladies, typically, you process life verbally. That's typical for ladies. Okay, so I ask you, what do you do with those those feelings? If you don't share them with a male teacher, what do you do with them? Most ladies need to talk about them. Okay, well, who do you talk to? If you don't talk to a male teacher or a student, or who do you talk to? And I don't know that I can name a person for you, but I will say this. You better learn to know how to talk to God. That's one of the things you better learn. Because you process life verbally. Some ladies journal it. It's one of the ways they help to process life, the situation, the day. Some need to find a friend. And here's another way for you to think about this. Sometimes you will be confused as a lady about the day. You don't even know what happened until you tell somebody what happened, okay? You have to process it verbally. You talk about it, you put it into words, and then you say, oh, that's what happened today. That's why I'm feeling. Here's what I'm feeling. You have said it to someone. You put it into words, okay? And a part of handling your interactions with males correctly is knowing the right, having the right verbal outlets. Outlets that will not develop wrong cross-gender interactions. If you share it with males, you're going to run into trouble, okay? Unless it's a relationship that's going to continue into marriage. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, because talking your heart to somebody else will build bonds. That's a reality. And if it's a male, it's going to build male-female bonds. So finding people. Typically, ladies need to have another lady that they can talk with. Learning to talk to God is a huge issue there. But God meets us in our needs. And many times our God concepts, our relationship with God is developed through the very areas of our need. But let me back up. I didn't finish there. As a single lady, I said, as a lady, you process life verbally, which means that when you don't have a husband, as long as you don't have a husband, you are going to have some empty areas. That's a reality. Your friend is not always available that you talk to, okay? So sometimes you are going to feel a need to talk and nobody's around. Okay? Learning to live, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you, you have to learn to live with that. Now let you in on something else. There are married ladies who live with the same emptiness because their husbands don't listen. Okay, and sometimes, I don't like to compare sorrows here, but sometimes they say, that's worse than when I was single. Okay, because I have a husband and he should be listening to me, and I don't have his listening ear when I should have it. Okay, I'm just saying anybody lives with a certain amount of emptiness. So learning to live with that emptiness, learning to live with that ache is a part of keeping your male-female interactions healthy. If you don't know how to handle that, you're going to have trouble relating to males because you're going to want something from them that you know you can't get, you don't know where to get. You hear what I'm saying? All right, and number three, principles that guide us. Know yourself, know God, and set protocol. Protocol, rules for engagement. How do I interact? What are the there are policies that we have. Sometimes you have school policies. You might have school policies that even address the male-female gender, cross-gender interaction. I don't know if you have school policies like that or not. We have one here for cross-gender interaction. It's a school policy. But you might have personal protocol as well, which is particular rules that you have for how you interact with, how you engage with male teachers in particular situations. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of hard sayings here, okay? And then we want to move yet to a little bit of discussion. But here are a couple of hard sayings. Heart-to-heart interaction without commitment sets a woman up for heartbreak. That's a reality that you must consider. And I have talked with single ladies who have declared that the interaction that they are having with a man is not, it's just friends. There's nothing beyond friends, but they are regularly sharing heart to heart, and they are fooling themselves. I tell them that, and they don't believe me. And they come back, I've had them come back to me later and say, I don't know what to do. The guy, you know, thinking of one particular situation, and after work they would be talking together, and their boss called me and said, I don't know what to do with these people. And I talked with them, and anyway, they said it's just friends. And it wasn't more than, I don't know how long later, and she was calling my wife and I in tears and saying that this guy went and married the boss's daughter. And she's left to sit. He was a friend. No, he wasn't. He was more than a friend. You're only fooling yourself if you think you can share your heart regularly with somebody and it's not building bonds. Hard saying number two, a person who has not found God sufficient at the core will search for substitutes indefinitely. Remember what I talked about with the empty areas? Those areas of empty, that's where you find God. You will find him there. And that's broader than school, than single lady school teachers. I've had widows tell me, I had one widow who talked to my wife and I, and she said she didn't know if she wanted to get married. A man was asking her for a relationship. She didn't know if she wanted to get married because she said, since I've been a widow, I've learned to know God as my husband in ways that I'm afraid I'm going to lose that special relationship if I get married. God meets us in our areas of emptiness. Okay, and so learning to know him at that core level. When a woman steps into a man's role because he is passive, she reinforces his passivity. So, relating to men, sometimes they don't do it, so we do it. We do it for them. Now, sometimes that's okay. If it's a doorknob and he won't fix it and you can fix it, bless your heart, okay? If it's planning the program and he's supposed to plan it and you plan it for him, he'll expect you to do it next year too. You've reinforced his passivity. Let him get all shook up a week before when it's not planned. That's his job, okay? You help him fall on his face very, very well, okay? I'm just saying, don't step into somebody else's shoes just because they're passive, okay? It will not help the cross-gender interaction by you taking his role just because he's not doing it. Relational competitiveness stifles the redemptive work of God. Hard saying. And so I'm just saying this. I didn't hear many of you talking about this, so maybe you're not facing this, but some ladies really struggle with the way other ladies in their staff are relating to the men. It's something that they makes them sick. Okay, they get disgusted, they get irritated, they get out of the loop. They've all kinds of things, and then what happens is they start this relational competitiveness. Okay, she's closer. He spends more time with her than he talks to me, and I don't get my issues, and he's always paying attention. And when she talks, he jumps. When I talk, he sleeps. those kinds of things. Okay, that's relational competitiveness. She's closer than I am. And I'm saying when you enter into that, it'll stifle God's redemptive work, his ability to redeem the situation. Yes?
And God kind of gave me the picture of how we have to hold our friends that we don't know. They're not ours. They're just like God gives us, and we have to hold our friends. And if I don't keep that attitude, then I'm the one who suffers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you didn't hear, keeping friends with an open hand. They're not ours. They don't belong to us. And so we can become possessive. And sometimes even using. Sometimes we, remember I said we live with emptiness sometimes? Sometimes we use a friend and we demand that they meet that need. And if they don't, then we feel betrayed. Realizing that we don't really have a hold on them. Okay. Last one, barfing over. I don't know what's on your paper. Barfing over someone else's immaturity indicates we're too close to seeing ourselves. Ooh, ouch. Hurts like everything, doesn't it? But many times I have looked at the actions of other people and I am so irritated and so disgusted until suddenly I see myself in them and I say, oh, I'm reacting because I'm too much like them. I'm immature myself. Okay. Now, this is a second part that I wanted to work on, and unfortunately, I talk too much here. And so we don't have a lot of time here. I think instead of doing it in small groups, I'm going to ask you just to respond. Can you try to respond here? When I need to talk, what do? Tell me. Not me, you. When you need to talk, what do?
Well, my dad taught school for 4 years, and I found him a very happy.
Yes, talking to your dad. Excellent. I had a daughter who taught school a number of years, and she talked to me. Okay, anyone else?
Go for a prayer walk.
So you're talking to God. Okay, good. By the way, you will find that certain avenues work for you that don't work for somebody else. Don't try to be somebody else. I mean, you can try things that you haven't done or whatever, but find the one that enables you to process things. So when I need to talk. When a man asks personal questions, what's a way? Pardon me? Okay. What would be wrong with that? Just saying, I'm not certain I'd feel comfortable really talking about that with you. You can do it with grace. And if they don't get it with grace, you might have to do it with other things. Okay. Okay, sometimes you can provide answers that are still keeping a guardedness about your heart. That's another certainly another option there. What you'll see though is that there are times when you actually long for somebody to understand what you are facing, what you're going through, but realizing, is this the appropriate person? Is this the right time? Anyway. When I'm attracted to someone, what's the way forward? Okay, so be guarded, being careful with the way we respond. Yeah. Anyone else?
Is it just as harmful to deny it?
Okay. So guardedness is not necessarily denial. Tell me what denial does. Excellent. You face it. You acknowledge it. Okay, so being attracted to somebody, you don't just deny it. You don't... what that means, Wanda, is that you are actually willing to accept a certain amount of pain. By facing it, you're saying, I'm attracted here, but I still need to guard that. Being able to live with that ache and be okay with it. When a male teacher is irritating the saintliness out of me. What do I do? Pardon me? Journal about it, okay? Yes. And you may need to work at perspective. Sometimes, particularly with heavy loads, little things can irritate us that wouldn't be as difficult if it weren't for the heavy load. As teachers, you're going to have heavy loads sometimes. And so putting things in perspective, how big is this? Is this big enough to be all worked up about this? Oh, sorry, I missed that one there. When a female teacher is soaking up all the male attention around me.
So is that finding your fulfillment in God?
That's right. Find your fulfillment in God and focusing on what you can do. You probably can't change her. You can work at your own life. So a few resolves. Just close with this. I think this is the last. Is this the last thing on your sheet? Okay, a few resolves. I will be professional in my interactions as a teacher. And so back to, let's see, in the back there, your response about, letting them know, I'm maybe not comfortable with talking about this. You can do that professionally. Keeping your manner professional rather than becoming confidential. Okay. Second resolve, I will not share personal issues with male teachers or students. That's a resolve. And by the way, she gave protocol. That's what I was talking about earlier, rules for engagement. So sometimes you might have answers. Think of answers ahead of time. Somebody asks you a question. You know, I come with, you say, well, I'm not certain I would feel comfortable talking about that right now or in this setting or whatever. I just feel like, you know, that's too personal. Okay, just being upfront about it. That's protocol. That's knowing how to engage properly, okay? Number three, I will seek God at my places of relational emptiness. Resolves that strengthen us, that enable us to go forward. Number four, I will not let male passivity be an excuse for me becoming an initiator. Number five, I will refuse to let the male-female interaction with my coworkers be the excuse for reaction on my part. Sometimes people around you are not behaving. And sometimes we can do things that are proactive, that are helpful for that. Other times we have to accept some things that are not what they ought to be. We have not talked about this, but I would also say that I think it's right for you, depending on the severity of what you're facing, to discuss with somebody over you how to respond. So if you'd have somebody coming to you and kind of pressing you, not recognizing healthy boundaries, okay, addressing it with that person is proper first, but if it doesn't stay there, going to somebody over it, going to the school board. Sometimes you may need to do that, but in any case, not living with interaction. Well, thanks for your input. Blessings to you. You are excused.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.